Now, Galatians 2:20, in the King James, it says, I am what? I am crucified with Christ. And Paul, you know, when he says, I am, he's talking about the real him. He's talking about his inner man, the spirit of him. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I read a number of different translations, which we don't need to read at this point, but I wanted to, this morning, take a few moments, and when we talk about the peace of God, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6. You know, when we talk about peace, you know, antonym to that, I guess you could say, would be something, someone who's anxious or worryful, or their minds are anxious about something. But when you look at here, what Jesus shared here in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25 to the end of the chapter, he says here, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And my margin says, be not anxious for your life. Or you could say, don't worry. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. You know, people worry about these things. Where are we going to get our money to get the food? Where are we going to get the money to get our clothes? How are we going to pay the rent? How are we going to make do? You know, in today's environment, you can see that. People are anxious. They're jumpy. And this goes on and it says, is not the life more than what? Meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither what? Do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father does what? Feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Boy, that's a mouthful right there. Because all of us see the birds. I mean, this is summertime. We can see the birds all out there munching and eating. And they don't store, they don't gather up, they're not storing up for wintertime and all of that. Squirrels do, I guess, but not birds. And so you can see here that the Lord said, why are you worrying? Why are you anxious for things that you can't make happen? And that's why it says, which one of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, your worrying can't cause that to happen in your life. All your worrying can't add one cubit or measure to your stature. It can't fix the deal here, right? So if God is saying through the Lord Jesus that he feeds the birds of the air, how much better are you? Why are we worrying? Why we concern? Because we just do, and we don't really think about or meditate on the fact that he cares for us. He's concerned for us. And all of us, I would say, at one point in our life, at some point, have worried about these kind of things. And if we have, then we're not doing what the Lord told us to do. Don't take no thought. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Rest. Have peace in the fact that I love you and I'm going to meet your needs. I'm going to supply the food you need and the clothes you need. and the raiment, he's going to take care of you. And we need to rest in that fact, that because otherwise Jesus would be a liar. He said, I only say those things that my Father has told me to say. So if he says he's going to take care of us, then he's going to take care of us. And we need to rest upon that fact and not be concerned how stuff's going to come about, how we're going to make ends meet. He'll lead us. He'll show us, right? You know, when you think about things, when we have a lack of understanding in a particular area, you could say our priorities are off. We have a lack of understanding of our priorities in that sense, right? When we don't understand the Word of God, we think that is our priority when God is saying, seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, when you think about things, just use a little simple example. You know, when we are concerned about something, think about a little child. I don't see Abigail here today, but if she were here today, like, I would use her as an example, right? If something broke of hers, she would be like, you know, or she lost something, she'd be like, possibly, I'm not saying she would be, but possibly a little child might be out of sorts. Oh my God, I lost this. That's a big deal. How's it going to be replaced? They're out of sorts. But as you gained more understanding, as you grew up, you look back at those things that you were concerned about as a child, and you go, what's that all about? Why am I concerned about that? Because you have a different perspective and a different priority. Your priorities have changed, right? So those things that concerned you as a child don't concern you as an adult, because you have a different understanding. And so that's what happens here, is that when we have revelation and we have a different understanding of the Word of God, and we understand that he cares for us and that he'll meet our need, we can rest. We don't have to be concerned about it. See? But when we're troubled about something, he said here, take no thought. Don't be anxious about these things. He said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to meet your needs. It gets quiet in here. It's quiet. You're thinking about it. That's good. So we worry about things you can't fix. You worry about stuff you can't fix. That's just the truth. You worry about stuff you can't fix. And God said, I'm going to take care of all of that. So what is that? So worrying can't add one iota of change or fix, right? You're just stuck in a rut worrying about stuff that you can't fix. You're anxious about something, right? So what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to keep from worrying? Get in faith. That's how you keep from worrying. You get over into what? Faith. That means what? You cast it over on the Lord. That's going to take faith. Because now you're thinking about, oh my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to get this? How's this going to happen? Oh my God. It's going to take faith to cast that care or that anxiety over on the Lord. Right? It takes faith to do that. It takes, you know, faith. What have we said in lessons past? Faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't have faith for somebody just in the natural. You can't have faith for somebody to do something for you until they at least tell you. I can't have faith in you without you telling me you'll do something. That would be presumption on my part. So-and-so is going to do something for me. And they look at me and go, really? you're going to come over and do something for me. And they go, I never said that. So how can you have faith in something somebody never told you or promised? But God has put it in his word. He promised. So you can have faith in God that he'll do what he said he'll do. He watches over his word to perform it. So if I cast my care upon the Lord, then I need to then take that care and that anxiety and cast it over on the Lord. And say, what does it say? It says, be anxious for nothing, but with what? What does Philippians say? Anybody know what that says? Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He didn't say, you know, just sit there and stew in your worry. He said, cast it on him. Cast it over. Right? And there's other scriptures that bear that out. So we need to get in faith. And, you know, another word you could say is a lot of times when you're worrying, you're out of sorts, you're not in peace, you're not at rest, and your focus is on the problem, so your focus is off. Your focus is not on the provider or the giver, so your focus is on the problem, right? Take no thought. Don't think about that. Cast it down. You know, one thing, as we can continue here with this, and verse 28, it says, why, you know, after this, he says, and why take you thought for raiment? He continues. Now he's talking about the flowers, the lilies. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, you know, I stop. Sometimes it's good to look at these, but go back and look at verse 28. He says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider. Just stop and think about that word. Consider the lilies of the field. He didn't say consider your problem. So when he said the word consider, you have a choice to make. You have a choice right then. You can consider the lilies of the field. You can consider the birds. Or you can sit and consider your problem. It's a choice. Right? It's a choice we make to consider. You know, when you look at this word, I just look up words sometimes because it helps. Sometimes when you read the King James, sometimes words, you know, it helps to just look up some words. But the word consider is to regard, to look upon, to esteem, to contemplate, to weigh. So if I'm contemplating, what am I contemplating? Am I weighing and regarding my problem, or am I regarding the benefit afforded to something like he's talking about, the birds and the lilies? He said, are you not much better than they? Consider that. He's saying, think about that. Consider, it says, to think about carefully, to think of especially with regard to, taking some action, to take into account. So he's saying, take into account, consider the lilies of the field, consider the birds, how they don't even gather up and they're fed and taken care of. He's saying, consider that. You're much better than that. I'll take care of you. Have peace. Don't worry. Right? That's what he's saying here when he says consider. Consider the lily of the field, the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them, like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not what? Much more. Say much more. Much more. Oh my goodness. much more clothe you. What does he say? Oh, ye of little faith. So what is he saying? He's saying, have faith. Have faith that I'll take care of you. Consider that. Think on that. Let me just read. I read it last week, but Isaiah 26:3, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. That means you got faith. You're trusting in him. Trusting in God. Hallelujah. When that word, he said, whose mind is stayed. That word stayed. We don't usually talk like that, but that word stayed means to lean on. To be propped up. What does that mean? My mind is on him. I'm leaning on him. Right? I think we've got to get to the place where we believe God regard over and above our circumstances. This word has got to be real to us, because otherwise you're going to let these things stay. All of this stuff. What am I going to do? How's this going to work? How's this going to... I'll never get this. You're going to have to take his word. And really, here's the thing I was going to focus on a little bit here. A lot of us will sit, and I've done it in the past. You sit there and you wage a mental battle. You sit there and you're just thinking about this stuff, thinking about it. It's an anxious thought. It's a worryful thought. And you sit and you wage this internal mental battle. Right? And he's saying, and Jesus is saying, you need to get in faith. What does faith do? Faith believes, but then faith does what? What does faith do? Faith believes. We believe, and therefore, 2 Corinthians 4:13, we believe, and therefore we speak. So when you're in faith, you speak. So this anxious thought can't just stay as an anxious thought. It can't. Because the solution is 1 inch below your nose. I'll give you a little example. You can't continue to think about something and speak something at the same time. Here's a little test. I want you to count in your mind from 1 to 25 when I tell you to start. And then in the middle of that, I'm going to have you make a confession. But I don't want you to stop counting in your mind. Everybody up for this?
Yes.
I want you to count. I'll tell you to start. You're going to go 1, 2, 3. Doing it in your mind. Don't say it out loud. And then I'm going to have you make a confession. You ready?
Yes.
You want to count in Spanish? Go ahead. But I'm going to count in English. Or whatever you want to do. You ready? Start. Okay, now I want you to say this. Jesus is Lord. Don't stop counting. Jesus meets all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Okay, what number are we on? You can't count and speak at the same time. It's not possible. You may have stopped and then picked up, but you can't speak and talk at the same time. I mean, speak and think at the same time. It's not possible. So God gave us this wonderful thing of speech that when anxious thought comes, what's the solution? Speak the word of God. Because you can't think on anxious thoughts and speak the word of God at the same time. It's not possible. So your words will do what? Rule over or override these anxious thoughts that we have. And that's the wonderful thing that God has put in us, that we don't have to sit and think, and get in a rut over this. We can begin to do what? Speak the word of God. When those things come into our life, it may come back. I'm not going to say you just speak it once and go away. It may come back, and it may keep coming back. You keep speaking the word of God, because what does it say? Casting down vain imaginations and everything that does what? Exalts itself against the knowledge of God. How are you going to cast it down? With your mind? With your speaking. So this is a wonderful thing, that when anxious thoughts come, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to make this ends meet? How am I going to pay my rent? You begin to take the word of God and say, I thank God, according to Philippians, that God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you that he supplies my every need. He supplies my food. He's going to fill my cabinets. I'm a tithe. You insert in what you need to insert in. But you continually say what the word of God says. And it will push out the anxious thoughts. It'll bring peace into your life. Amen. Praise God. So instead of wrestling with thoughts, we need to do what? Open our mouth and speak God's word. Hallelujah. Here's another thought to consider. I took this word consider. When he says, consider the lilies of the field, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And he continues and he said, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And he continues, when he said the word consider, that word implies that we have the power within us to take control over the situation. See? So he's saying here, it's within our power what we focus on and what we think on. It's within our power, whether we're in faith or whether we're in worry. It's in our power. Let's turn over to Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Because I think it's good to look at some of these things here when we talk about worry and speaking. But Joshua 1:8 is a good example here. I'll wait a moment till you get there. Everybody there? Joshua 1:8. And he says here, this book of the law. So what is he talking about here? The word of God. The word of God, or the book of the law, shall what? Not depart out of your mind, out of your mouth. So he's saying here, so when we talk about you being anxious, take no thought, have no anxious thought, consider. So he's saying here, this book of the law shall not depart, what? Out of your mouth. We just did, that was what we did, that little experiment. You can't think about something and speak something and continue to think about it at the same time. You can't. You know, people say, I multitask. No, you can't. You can only think about one thing at one time. So this goes on. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe or attend to do according to all that is written therein. For then who? Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I just take a moment here on this. When this says here, this book of the law shall not depart. That word depart means to withdraw or to cease. So this saying here, the word of God should not depart or cease from coming out of your mouth. And if you look at this here, this word meditate, it says it shouldn't depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. If you look up this word meditate, see, that's why it's important to look at this. It's not talking about, that word meditate is not talking about you sitting there. You know how some people, they can just sit there and, let me think about this. Let me meditate on that. That is not what that word means. That word in the Hebrew means to murmur, to mutter, to speak, talk, utter. That's what that means. So God is saying here, through Joshua, he's saying we're not to let this book of the law depart out of our mouth, but we're to do what? Meditate upon it. We're to murmur it. We're to talk about it, speak it out of your mouth. And it says, and that thou mayest observe to do. And it continues, and it says, for then thou wilt make thy way prosperous, and you'll have good success. But isn't it interesting? Look at the order in that he said, what came first? Your mouth. And then meditate. Mouth came first. So we're not, when you start getting anxious about things, what are we going to do? We're going to take this mouth and begin to speak the promises of God. And that's why when Jesus said, O ye of little faith. So we're to do what? Consider, weigh those things, and begin to speak the word of God that will help us in our thought life. It'll help us in our thought life. How are we going to make this? How's this going to happen? You know, people are worrying about all kinds of things. They come home. That's why we see, you know, people that work in corporate America, you know, whether you're local here or you're in New York City, people are on a frazzle, you know. All has to happen is a rumor they're going to downsize. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? You're taking anxious thought. Can your worrying change that? No. If they're going to cut you loose, your worrying ain't going to change it. But what you need to do is say, thank God, he's going to supply my need. And if they lay me off, God's got a better job. He's got something better for me. And this is where we need to be. This is the world that we live in. And God has given us his word and his spirit. Peace is in us. We've got to draw upon it. How do we draw upon it? Through the word of God. So as we continue, you know, just think about this for a moment. When Jesus said, consider, and then he goes on and he said, consider the lilies of the field and so forth. And then at the end of that, he said, O ye of little faith. And it continued, therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. And your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we are in faith, the more we're in faith, the less pressure there is. The more you're in faith, the less pressure. Because you're at rest, you're at peace, you're confident that God is going to take care of you. Or you could say it another way, the more faith you have, the less you worry. Because you're at peace about the things you're worrying about. You know, just think about things, you know, you can look straight ahead, you don't have to nudge anybody. But when there's lack of faith, people put pressure on people when they're not in faith. People dump pressure. What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about it? You know, husbands do it to wives. What are you going to do about this? Wives do it to husbands. What are you doing about this? Yeah. Just leave it in God's hands. But people do it all the time. They get in anxious about something. And when they're not in faith, worry, I'll say it another way, worry puts pressure on people. When you worry, you put pressure on people. That's just a fact. We've all been there. You know, what are you going to do about this? But if you're in faith, what do? You look to God. When you're in faith, you look to God. No pressure on people. When you're in faith, you don't put pressure on people. What do? Because you've gone to God. You're resting in the fact that he's got this. There's no pressure. It takes some work, doesn't it? Because thoughts keep coming. They keep flooding your mind. What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? You know, you heard Brother Hagin. He said he would drive down the road, four ball tires, screaming at night. And he said the thoughts were coming. What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? He's got a wife and kids. And they're screaming, your tires are bald. What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? He said he rode at nighttime because he had bald tires. And he said it was too hot during the day, and his tires couldn't stand up to the heat. So he would ride at night. And he said, it got to the point where all of these voices kept screaming at him, and he said, he yelled out, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust God. Hallelujah. That's what you got to do. Because those thoughts just keep coming. And that's why I say, what's the solution? Let not this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but meditate therein day and night. That's what we've got to do. We've got to keep speaking the word, to put down the thoughts that come. Because if you're in worry, you're not in peace. You're anxious. You're just anxious about stuff, right, that you can't change. Thou wilt what? Keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's go back to, Philippians 4. Let's go to Philippians 4, 6. And let's look at that. I remember there were a few situations in my life where my mind checked out. I just was like blank. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And God gave me some direction and a solution. So he'll lead us, he'll guide us. But Philippians 4:6, What does it say? Be careful for nothing or be anxious. Some translations say, I like some of these other obscure translations, the WEAST. It says, stop worrying about even one thing. Don't worry about one thing. Don't even worry about it. One translation says, do not fret over anything. The letters translation, don't worry about anything, but talk to the Father about everything. So what is he saying? Don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, right? We're going to speak with our mouth. And what? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall do what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is it going to do? The peace is going to keep our hearts and minds. Verse 8, what? These are the things here. This is the checklist here, right? If it's not on the checklist, then we don't do it. What does it say in verse 8? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on those things. So he's, and then verse 8, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what does he say? Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So he's given us a checklist on what to think on, what to meditate upon. So if that stuff that comes in your mind if it's not on this checklist, we know we shouldn't be thinking about it. That means we've got to make some confessions or profession. What does he say? He's the God of our profession. He's the God of our confession. So we need to think on those things which are just and pure. And if it's not, then we don't think about it. Now let's look at another scripture along this line. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Everybody there? It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under what? The mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Doing what? Casting all your care upon him, for he what? He careth for you. So we can see here, God cares for us. And we're to do what? Cast, or you could say throw off, cast off that care. You know, people, it's a funny thing. People have this idea that if you don't worry, that you must not care. You know how people do? People say, don't you care? You know, like, you should be worrying about this. Don't you care? So they think that if you don't care, you don't love the person. Or you don't love something about this. Don't you care about that person? And so God thinks differently, doesn't he? So worrying is not love. So we need not to worry about some things. What are we supposed to do? Get in faith about it. Think about this. Worry has never paid a bill. Worry has never paid your rent. Worry has never clothed you. Faith does. Let's turn over for a moment here to 2 Corinthians. I don't know if we're going to finish this here, but just get the intent across. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to get over there. It says here, great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. What does Paul write here? I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in what? In all our tribulation. He say he's worrying? He said, what did he say over in James? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So he said here, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side without or with. Now, isn't this interesting here? Sometimes we need to look at these words. What does it say? Without were fightings. He's talking about on the outside. Outside, on the outer. Without were fightings, within were fears. So he's making a distinction between the outer man and the inner man. Verse 6, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. See, so God comforted them, didn't he? Sometimes we need to look at these things here. Let's go over to chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. See, we talk about cares and anxious thoughts. Here's something to consider. This is Paul writing here. Look at verse 28 in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. He said, we'll back up to verse 27. It says, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often. He's talking about all the stuff he went through. In hunger and thirst and fastings often. In cold and nakedness. And look at verse 28. Beside those things that are without. He's talking about the outer man now. The things that buffeted him. Right? Beside those things that are without, that which what? Cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Oh. Now, did Paul say he was caring? He didn't. He said it came upon him, right? But then we know over in Philippians, he wrote, be anxious for what? Nothing. But with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the care came upon him, the care of what? That all the churches that he was raising up and setting up, right? That's no different than us walking through life. Cares are going to come upon you. You just don't have to let them in. You can do something about it. You can consider that Jesus will meet your need. He'll comfort you in tribulation. Amen? So you can see here, let me finish up with this scripture here. Go over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. want to focus on a few verses, but I'll start from the beginning. It says, I will do what? Bless the Lord at what? All times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her what? Boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Now look at verse 4, talking about casting off these cares and giving them to God. Look what it says here, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he did what? He heard me and did what? And delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me. But you got to seek him. You've got to cast off the cares. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that do what? Fear, reverence, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Remember we got done reading in Isaiah? What did it say? It said that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he does what? He trusteth in thee. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that do what? Fear him or reverence him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that do what? Seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you and fear. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Now he's asking a question. How are we going to do that? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Do what? Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Hallelujah. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and does what? Delivereth them out of all their troubles. So when cares come upon you, what are we supposed to do? Cast it off. We're to do what? Open our mouth. Bless the Lord. Remind him of his goodness. Remind him of his promises. And keep doing it until that care leaves. I mean, just think about Paul when he said, the cares of the church came upon me daily. But he gave us the solution. He gave us God's word on how to handle that. Amen. This is something that you have to put in practice. You've got to actually make it a daily routine or a daily practice to do what? I purpose not to take thought, take care about something. Did we go over there? I think we did. We looked at this. Let me go back over here for a minute again. Yeah, let me read when 1 Peter 5:7, when it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Some of these other translations that I have here, it says, throw all your anxiety upon him, for his concern is about you. Throw all your worry upon him, a worry on him, because he takes care of you. Bring all your worries to him to carry for you, for he is always concerned about you. I like this. This is the Jerusalem. Unload all your worries on him, since he's looking after you. Unload it. Stop carrying it. Unload it. Cast it off. You know, it's like Brother Hagin used to say when he was alive, all these, you know, these colloquial sayings he used to have. He used to say, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure stop it from making a nest. What was he saying? You can't stop thoughts from coming, but you can certainly resist them. You can stop them from persisting. What are we supposed to do? Cast all of these cares upon the Lord. If we have pressure, you know, where did I write down some of these, if you have anxious, you know, this was when it says here, take no anxious thought. If you're anxious, that means you have uneasiness of mind. That means your mind's uneasy about something. You're concerned about something. You know, it's interesting, but we're trained to worry about stuff. Don't you worry about that? Don't you worry about your children? Don't you worry about, you know, wives and husbands? Aren't you concerned about this? No. That doesn't go over big with someone that's concerned, because they want you to jump in with their party. They want you to be concerned with them. You know, I heard this minister tell a story about Brother Hagin. And when all his traveling, he said he was coming in the front door, and his wife didn't really have the revelation of this at this period in her life. And she got on his case and said, you know, I believe that if both me and the kids drop dead right here on this stoop, you wouldn't be concerned about it. He said, well, no. He said, you'd be gone anyway, so why would I be concerned? He said, that didn't go over too good. But his point was, I'm not going to be concerned about it. I'm not going to take concern. If I'm going to have anything, I'm going to talk to God about it. So people want us to take worry and concern about something as a measuring stick of our love or apathy, not apathy, but concern about something. And if we're not, we're apathetic to it. No, I'm in faith. What did Jesus say? Why are you worrying about this, O ye of little faith? You know, it's interesting. Sometimes we connect with these. A synonym to anxious is edgy, jumpy, jittery, nervous, troubled, upset, worried, uptight. If you qualify in all of those, you're anxious. You're not in faith. You're not resting in the fact that we're to cast it off to God. Because why? He cares for us. And we have to rest in the fact, this is where faith comes in. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're going to have to be more inside. We're going to have to rule from within and not without. In other words, not be moved by the outward pressures of life, but let this inner man rule. There can be peace in my heart and all kinds of stuff going on in my life. But we're going to have to let peace rule in our heart. That's what the scripture says. If we think on those things that are pure and easy and just, what does it say? It says it'll keep our hearts and minds, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. So don't let the pressures of life cause you to have a different kind of confession, a different kind of faith, which is no faith, right? Praise God. God wants to get this across to us because we don't know in the next, his return is close and things aren't going to get any easier. They're going to get darker. And the light shines brighter in the darkness. So we're going to have to walk by the light of God's word. And so we're going to have to, in perilous times, we're going to have to walk by faith. Keep our minds and our thinking straight. And keep reminding us and keep reminding ourselves, God's in me and he cares for me. He cares for everything about me. If I'm concerned about it, he's concerned about it. Amen.